2 of our series, Silent Night. And after that introduction, I have to wake you all up all over again, right? Okay. I'm going to lose you one of these Sundays on that intro. Just wanted to highlight a couple of things. Last week, we received a legacy offering for our Life to Life missions and the project we have at Ukraine in adopting a couple of children, specifically the Ziner family that are adopting two boys. And they have been over in Ukraine for a couple of weeks, and there's quite an expense attached to all this, as you could imagine. And so I want to be sure that, listen to me, everyone, I want you to hear this. I want to be sure that we are a church that supports this cause. It's a worthy cause. These are two lives. Well, it doesn't really matter to me. It's two lives. And that we're believing that we're going to be able to bring over here and adopt them, bring them into a great home, and also a great church, right? And come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and follow Him. And honestly, if they're left there in Ukraine, it's not a very good situation there once they come out of the orphanages. It's pretty much the street. And so there's a lot of families that are involved in adopting these children. We're connected through the Ziners with this organization that's helping place these kids in homes and give them a forever home in Jesus Christ. And so I want to make sure, and I'm going to go on record, that I am supporting this cause, and I appreciate you standing with us. Last week we received a legacy offering to help support this, and I just want to say that is still an available opportunity. If you haven't had the opportunity yet to participate, it's not too late. So a little bit later we're going to be receiving an offering, we call it a legacy offering, because we just don't want to do something just for us. We want to do something for the next generation. That's the next generation. Leave a legacy for them. And a great heritage that you and all probably, a lot of you have a great heritage in the Lord, and we want to make sure that it gets extended on. So today, if you want to participate in that legacy offering, we'll give you some instructions how you can do that and indicating on your envelope for the legacy offering. And also, let me just throw this out, and that is that, and I'll mention this again later, I had surfaced to us actually this morning a benevolence need of a family who really is in need of groceries. Not even asking for toys, but actually asking for groceries. And so we're going to give you an opportunity as well if you would like to give something to that cause. You can indicate on your tithe envelope Christmas benevolence. Just put Christmas benevolence. Or if you just put Christmas, we'll know what that is going for. So I appreciate you helping us with those needs. And excited about what's going on in Ukraine and the adoption of these children. Also excited for the opportunity that we're going to have in India through Pravlik and the opportunities there with his family that is there, his father's there pastoring, and just we're so excited to be able to connect with him. And I know that's a big challenge to be able to go. There's some expense associated with that. But if you have any interest, listen, I know God can make a way, right? And so I just want to encourage you, be sure and to see Pravlik. He's right over here. Wave at Pravlik, everybody. Be sure and connect with him and go on there and just and be sure to be a part of this if you possibly can. Or you may know of somebody that has the ability to go with them and be a part of this mission trip. Maybe working with someone that's associated with a desire to go to India. So be sure and connect with Pravlik on that. Also, one other thing before we get into the message, and that is this thing right here, these acts of kindness cards. Something extra to show you God loves you. I want to be sure that we're using these. We put them in your worship guide, but also back here at the back, we have extras. We put these in your worship guide last week. Be sure and use these. Come on, make a difference. Make a difference. I mean, seriously, you could be driving through a drive-through, right, picking up some food, pay for the person behind you. Who knows? It may only cost you $5, but you may change your life. Is a life worth $5? Come on, always connect them to God. Leave this with that. Just say, hey, tell the person behind me I got it covered. It's covered, right? Right? And you just never know, because sometimes God orchestrates things, and it's not just a random act of kindness, but God actually orchestrates things where somebody's going through. I've heard stories of where people are going through some of the worst times of their life and receive one of these, and it gives them hope, and it sends a message to them that God still loves them. So be sure and use these. Couldn't be a better time of year to use these. Right, everybody? Everybody can think, that's right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's an awesome idea. This is just a tool that you can use to be God's hands and feet, right? All right. Glad you're excited about that. Let's get into our series of Silent Night. And honestly, my desire for this series is that God would do a deep work inside of us. In fact, that's what God comes to do. Jesus comes to do a deep work inside of us and an everlasting work, not a temporary peace that the world gives that's a false peace, but Jesus comes to bring an eternal peace. He says, I give a peace to you, not like the world gives. I have a peace that far outshines what this world calls peace. And so last week we looked at the fact that many think that Jesus came to bring peace on the earth, but actually Jesus at one point said he didn't come to bring peace on the earth. That's actually not why he came. It's not about changing the world around you, but actually he wants to do something deeper than that. He wants to do something on the inside. And we looked at the scripture. I'm going to give this to you again in Luke chapter 2. You can look at your message notes there, also up on the screen. Luke chapter 2 says this, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then look at this. "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, we're probably familiar with the King James Version of that says, "and on earth peace, goodwill to men." But it never says that he's bringing peace on earth. It's to men, and it specifically means it on whom his favor rests. And we talked about that and the fact that Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth. He came to bring to earth his peace. He came to bring came on earth to bring peace to us. And so here's the deal. Regardless of what's happening on earth around you, you can still have peace. Regardless of what week you had or what year you've had or what happened yesterday or what you're going through right now, in the midst of it all, Jesus is saying that you can have peace to us today. And so here's what we know, and that is that in 3,500 years of secular recorded history, that's secular recorded history, the Bible has 6,000 years of history. Get this, we have seen 14,350 some wars fought in that span of time. Over 4,000 wars and 3.6 billion people recorded have died in those wars. And by the way, there's been 8,000 peace treaties that have been written. You know how many of those 8,000 peace treaties have been fulfilled? Zero. Zero. So if your expectation is, well, surely one day there's going to be peace on earth, you're going to be waiting a long time. In fact, the Bible says when they cry, peace, 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 then sudden destruction will come. But here's the thing. The fact is that earth cannot bring you peace. Only God can bring you peace. Only God can bring you peace. It's not in the external. God, the eternal, wants to do something internal regardless of what's happening externally. And God has a gift for you. And this may sound like a Christmas thing here, but seriously, folks, God has a gift for you and I today. And it's peace. And that's the goal of this series today, is that we will experience peace that supersedes anything that's happening in our life, that we'll enjoy this deep peace. And so my goal, my prayer is that at the end of this season, that when they say, what did you get for Christmas? Somebody says, what do you get for Christmas? Listen, you'll not only just list, oh, I got this, but then you're going to be able to say, this year, God gave me the greatest peace I've ever had in my life. And by the way, let me just go on record for saying this, and that is that this is happening in this place. And I don't know where your focus is and what you're looking at around here, but I want to tell you, phenomenal things are happening. For those of you that were able to witness it, were here last week, we had a phenomenal baptism experience, and people just saying, I'm committing my life, I'm declaring, I'm following Jesus. We had a girl here that's a student, that she's gone home for the holidays, and she said to me that she has been looking and praying for so long that God would help her and free her to be able to follow him, because she's from Vietnam and was raised as a Buddhist, and her family is still of that faith. but yet she has believed on Jesus Christ and God has set her free. Can I tell you that the first time she came into this building, she told me, come on, that's good. First time she came into this building, she said, she looked around and she said, I'm home. I want to tell you, beautiful things are happening in this place. And you need to be aware of that. Amen. And peace, what that means is she experienced the peace of God. And she told me before she left, she said, I don't want to go home because this is my family. And she said to me, she said, I believe if I follow my Father, He will give me brothers and sisters. He'll give me a new family. Isn't that beautiful? And of course, I reminded her, that's your family too, and God's going to use you to be a light to them, and we're going to believe for that whole family. Come on, everybody. That's worth praising God for. And if I could, I could take time to tell you more situations that some of you are not even aware that are happening in this place. This week, I thought about the people standing on this stage. One day, I'm hoping we can just go down the list and just testify of what God is doing in individual lives. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And that's really what this thing is all about. It's about people experiencing the peace of God. And my goal and my prayer in this series is that we will experience the peace of God. John 14, Jesus words it this way, I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. It isn't temporary. It isn't false. It isn't fake. It doesn't end. It lasts forever. And he says, so don't be troubled or afraid. And I pray, my prayer honestly, is that we'll experience the peace of God. And I've been emphasizing this at the end of this message today. We're gonna give an invitation for people to come to Christ. But also, today, if you're in this place and you're a believer, but somehow the enemy has robbed you of your peace, I just want to make available, this altar is available. We receive an offering, and the reason we time our offering the way we do, we want to make sure we get connection cards so we can just help people understand the next steps by sending them a letter. But I want you to know that's a strategic thing. We do that so we can get that in hand so we can just connect. But look, I want you to know that when that offering plate passes you at the end of the service, this altar is open, and we got people here that will stay with you and pray with you as long as need be, all right? Everybody okay with that? So let's encounter God's presence and experience the peace of God. But here's a question, and that is, if we've lost peace, where have we lost it? Where do we lose peace? Why are we not peaceful? And I'm going to just pull out one thing from last week that we touched on, and that is, one area is people. People can be a reason that we lose our peace. You know, people. And sometimes you can be driving down the road of life and everything is just fine and rosy, and then somebody can just come in your path and cut you off and rob you of your peace. You know, one person called them joy killers. They just kill your joy. They rob you. Or they're thieves. They rob you of your joy. But it doesn't have to be that way, but sometimes it is. Talking about driving down the road of life, I was talking to a minister several years ago that we know from the Wadesboro area, and he was talking about how, and you'd have to know this guy, he's got one of these million-dollar smiles. I mean, when he smiles, you see all of his teeth, top row and bottom row. You know, he's just all teeth, just, you know. Kind of a shorter guy, you know, there's not much to him, but man, he's got a smile, you know. And so he was telling me about how that he was going down this through this intersection, and he had a green light. And this car comes flying through the intersection, and he like, what in the world is going on here? Well, when he got back to church the next Sunday, he saw this lady in his church, and she said to him, she said, I saw you the other day at that intersection. I came through it, and you were frowning at me. You had the meanest, ugliest look on your face. And he said, well, what you did wasn't anything to smile about. and so anyway, he said, I wasn't too happy with you. You ran through that intersection. I about hit you. And so he told me, he said, some time passed, and he said the same exact scenario happened again. She comes through the same intersection, same lady. He looked up, and he just grinned all the way through as she passed by. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you just don't always do that right. You know, in fact, it reminded me of, I was actually going down a road the other day, and it's one of my customers. I Most of y'all know I work for the post office, and I'm going down. I'm in my mail truck, and I'm under. You know, I mean, y'all, we got an account with Amazon. It's pressure time. And we got parcels like UPS at the post office, and it's just. And I was going down, and this car wouldn't go. This truck was in front of me, and it wouldn't go. And I was just like, and I hate to tell you, I don't. Your pastor, I don't walk around all the time. Shalom, peace, bless you, my children. You know, I don't. Sometimes I get intense, and I'm sitting there going, come on, and I have this new habit. I bang on the steering wheel, come on, you know, get relentless. And I looked up, and the guy driving the truck was one of my customers who is actually, at times, y'all don't know this, has donated and given money to our church and give me books. In fact, this week he gave me a Hebrew Bible, you know, it reads from the back to the front, you know, and he's real nice guy. And I look up, and I realize it's him, and he's got me in his rearview mirror, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I went from, hey, how you doing? I heard of one pastor that happened to, and he said he was going from one highway to another highway, and he was merging on, and this truck came barreling down on him, and he's all animated, and he could see him in the rearview mirror, and he's looking at him going, what do you want? And so he thought, well, I'll just, if you're in that big of a hurry, so he pulls over to this side of the road, he pulls over, I guess it's this way, pulls over, he rolls down this one, he looks out the window, and he's thinking, just come on if you're that big of a hurry, and he got his window rolled down, because he's going to give him, you know, as he's coming by, he's going to give him one of these, you know, what's wrong with you? As he comes by, the guy pulls up beside him, and he says, hey, Pastor, I got you. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just playing along. I do it all the time, you know. That's not nice. Don't do that to me, okay? Just don't do that to me. There's some times where things come and people, you know, aggravate you. Sometimes it comes in the form of a driving scenario. Sometimes it comes in the way of a letter or an email or those things where, you know, here's what I've discovered. Hurting people hurt people. And I think if we could just back off and realize that sometimes it's just a lot of misunderstandings and things where people don't know all the facts and they hurt you. But if we're not careful, we allow those people to rob us of our peace. But this is what David said in Psalm 120. He says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. And he says, I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for wars. And I, you know, everywhere I look, my coworkers, they just want to fight all the time. They just want to argue. They just don't want to make peace. My family members, it's all about arguing, and the nation and D.C., they don't get anything done. They just fight among themselves, and nations at war. And here's what I want us to understand about today's message. Today, we might would like a message about conflict resolution. You know, how do we resolve things? And I just want to tell you, today's message is not about conflict resolution. That's not today. And there is a place for that, where you have that conflict resolution and you sit down between two parties and you reconcile that kind of war between two parties. But today's message is this. I want us to assume that we never get along. And if we never get along, how can we have peace? Get this. In recorded history, over 3,500 years, we have four wars on average a year, most of them lasting more than a year. So chances are, you're going to always have some kind of conflict and war going on. And so if you're waiting till there's never a conflict to have peace, you're going to be waiting a while. So how do we have peace even in the midst of conflict, even if the family never does get along, or your neighbors never do get along? How are you going to have that kind of peace? Can we have peace anyway? The answer is yes. And I want to show you from God's Word how we can have peace if the family never does cooperate, if the coworker, if the boss, whatever it is, if it's traffic situation, we're always going to have, how can we have that kind of peace? In fact, in 1945, the United Nations, the UN, was formed, and one of their goals was to provide peace for all succeeding generations. Well, that's a lofty goal, but good luck. I'm proud of you for trying, but that's a complete failure. One lady said, peace is that glorious moment in history where everybody stops fighting to reload. I mean, so what do we do about that? I want to first of all show you the progression of where it comes from so you can recognize it and hopefully stop it before it gets too bad. Most conflict happens or begins because there's, and this is a blank in your notes, because there's a distance. Because there's a distance. A distance of thought or ideas or a separation. This happens all the time with marriage. In marriages it happens. There's this distance. It happens even with our kids because, you know, it's a generation separation sometimes. There's a distance there. So we're not talking about geographically, but we're talking about in thought or in attitude or in belief. And when it isn't dealt with, here's what happens. We put up a protective mechanism to make sure that person never abuses, never misuses, never mistreats me again. And that leads to the second one there, and that's walls. We put up walls. And you say these things. You say, well, no one will ever do that to me again. And so what we do is we insulate ourselves. And the fact is that walls never solve anything. And the fact of the matter is oftentimes the walls are not just between us and people, but oftentimes they're put between us and God. God, you didn't answer like I wanted you. You didn't come through. I didn't have this plan that way. And so we put up walls between us and God. And then that oftentimes leads to escalation. And that means the simple problem becomes bigger than it actually is. And I'm going to underline that word simple there. And it's usually something simple. Something simple that it escalates. And people, it's amazing how people will fight about small, insignificant things that do not matter, especially in the light of eternal things. And it just doesn't matter. And there's a real danger here, and that is that we make this thing bigger than it actually is, and therefore we're actually believing a lie, which is the number one tool of the enemy. And then that leads to false belief. And as a pastor, I just want you to know there's a lot of people that, you know, you try to help that they can't see it. They can't see it. They come in with a problem and you're thinking, you're really fighting about that. But they can't see it. And they even use scripture in defense of their actions. I can't live with him any longer. Can't live with her anymore. And they want to justify why that doesn't work, why they're leaving, why they're not compatible. What's happened is they've believed a lie. They've made something bigger than it actually is. Now they're operating in false belief. They believe the grass is greener on the other side. But it's not. And if it is, you know why. You know what's going to happen. The water bill is going to be higher. I'm just saying. The grass is greener on the other side. And so it's going to be just as bad over there. And so it doesn't solve anything because the heart is not resolved. The heart doesn't have peace. And you take all that with you. And it then leads to the next step in the progression, and that's hostility. Now I'm upset. Hostility. Now get this. Hostility is not the emotion you feel toward another person. I'll say it again. Hostility is not the emotion you feel toward another person. Hostility becomes the condition of your soul, because that person could be going on and fine, but somehow inside of you, you haven't resolved it and things are not right. You're not at peace with yourself. And chances are that also means you're not at peace with God. And so the question is, are you at peace in your soul? Is your soul at rest? And then it leads to that final step there, and that's the progression leads to war. We've subtitled this message War and Peace. It's not going to be as long as the novel, don't worry, okay? But war, you know? And if you're, and here's a strong statement. I want you to get this. I wrote this down. I want to make sure you get this. If you're not at peace within your soul, it means you're not at peace with God, really. And that's a strong statement, which probably indicates that there are things in your life that are not submitted to God if you're not at peace. James 3 says this, but if you let your harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, I have a right to feel the way I feel. I'm justified in the way I feel. He's not doing right. She's not doing right. He did me wrong. She did me wrong. He says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Don't boast about it. Don't say, well, he did me wrong, and deny the truth. He says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Every evil practice. Heard about one guy who had some fingers that had been cut off. And when asked about his fingers that were cut off, he said, oh, that happened years ago when I was working in a sawmill, a machine. And he said that there was actually five guys in 1 week that lost some members of their hand before they fixed the problem. Which you would say, oh boy, if that happened today, you'd be a millionaire. And when presented that scenario to this individual, he said, oh no. I had the opportunity back then, but my daddy taught me you don't just go around suing everybody for just anything. Think about it. I'm not saying the guy isn't due some compensation. But I think sometimes we want to go out and we want to just seek vengeance and we want to make a right wrong. And even when you think you made it right, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean that you're going to have peace in your heart. It doesn't come through that means. We got to understand that. So what we need to experience is peace. And I'm going to tell you, that peace is a gift that is available. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. Before you came to Christ, you were separate from Him. There was a distance between you and God. And you were without hope and without God in the world. But look at this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away and have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So here's the thing, there is a but now. You were far away from Him, but now Jesus Christ has reconciled. And I would tell you, there's got to be a but now in your life. Because if there isn't a change in your life, you may not be saved. You may not be a Christian. When you come to Christ, there's going to be a but now. I was away from God, but now everything has changed. When you meet God, get this, you meet peace. Look at this as we read on. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. He doesn't just bring peace. I love this. He is our peace. Amen? He is a person. He is our peace who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostilities. And He says, so He takes the two that were separate, that were divided, and He makes them one again. And what really in Ephesians was being addressed was the war going on between the Gentiles and the Jews. And He's saying, God has removed that wall, and He's made us one in Christ. Amen. And you think about it. I was discussing this with someone yesterday, and that is the fact that Jesus, before He was to be crucified, His prayer that He prayed, John chapter 17, is one about unity, unity, unity. God, Father, make them one, make them one as we are one, make them one. He was about to be crucified. Instead of saying, Lord, just give me some major anesthesia. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to go through this. He was saying, make them one. That was His prayer. He wants us to have peace. And so this is what happens through Christ. God destroys the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility. I want to give you three truths, though, because while peace is available, how do we do that? How does it happen? We'll give you three truths. And I'm going to give you I guarantee you results, but none of them are going to be easy, all right? But I believe we need to buy into them. Number one, and that is, you won't find peace until you make peace. You won't find peace until you make peace. You can't have peace and not make peace with someone. But if you make peace, you will find peace. And I want you to notice this, though. Those words, make peace. This is not about acting better and trying to get along with people. Instead, it's settling in our hearts the issues we have with people. The result is this: is we settle the issues in our own heart, and our hearts become settled, and we have the peace. Right? We have peace. I'm not talking about conflict resolution. I'm not even talking about getting together and having a meeting and saying, okay, let's get along. I'm talking about a peace within your own heart. And you may have had something that's happened to you this week that's offended you, that's hurt you, that's let you down, that's disappointed you. But you got, here's what I know that I have to realize, and that is, even when we're dealing with people, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. We are wrestling against spiritual principalities. And when we understand that, and when we understand that hurting people hurt people, and there's misunderstandings, and people don't have all the information and don't understand, and then there's distances and all this escalation that brings us to war, look, we need to understand that our war is not with people. And when we understand that and we settle things in our heart, it brings us to a moment of peace in our heart. James chapter 3 says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And what that's saying there is, that's what happens when we come to Christ. Heaven is first of all pure. Now, that speaks of salvation. It's first of all pure. God purifies you, cleanses you. So that speaks of the salvation. And then there's a semicolon, and then this is the results. Then, peace-loving, get this, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, there's a lot there, folks. As we come to Christ and He purifies our heart, we become peace-loving people, not people of war and contentions. We become peace-loving people. We become considerate. Let me put it this way. Christians should be nice. We should be nice, especially the ones of the household of faith, and we should show our kindness and love to the world of Jesus Christ, right? We should be considerate. We should be submissive. Oh, that's a word a lot of people don't like. Submissive. Even Jesus Christ was our supreme example of being submissive to the will of the Father. Submissive in spirit, preferring one another, right? So it's submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And so the result of peacemaking is things are made right in you, because look what it goes on to say. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Let's say this again. The result of peacemaking is that things are made right in you. The result of when you make peace is righteousness. Things are made right in you. And the opposite is true. Whenever you have righteousness on the inside, righteousness brings peace. Everybody getting this? Anytime you put God's righteous standard into anything, it will bring peace. If you don't have peace in your marriage, you bring God's righteous standard in your marriage, and your marriage will have peace. For some of you, it may be your finances. You don't have peace in your finances. But if you bring God's standard of righteousness, of doing things the right way, into your finances, guess what? Your finances are going to have peace. Right? Righteousness produces peacemaking. Peacemaking produces righteousness. They're both connected. Matthew 5 says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And that word there, blessed, in the Greek, there's two different words for that, and one means a material, but that's not the word used here. The word used here means happy. And what that really means is, even when circumstances are bad, you still have this internal joy, which is what we talked about last month, that internal joy. And that's the ones that he's saying, and for they will be called the sons of God. So that's the ones that really get it, who want peace. If you want peace, look, be a peacemaker, right? And so, number one, you won't have peace until you make peace. Look at number two. Because how do I do that? How do I settle the issues? You won't have peace until you make peace. Well, then how do I make peace? Number two, you make peace through reconciliation. You make peace through reconciliation. Now think about it. Everybody knows about reconciling your bank account, right? Y'all do reconcile your bank accounts, right? Okay, I'm just saying, have you ever reconciled your bank account? Okay, I hope you've reconciled. That's a whole other message series. All right, right there. Financial peace. See Dwayne over here. All right. When you reconcile your bank account, you bring everything to the balance of zero, right? You account for everything. All the spending, what's went out, what's coming in, has it cleared the bank? And you reconcile that, and you bring the balance to zero. If you have a Quicken version of that to do on Quicken, it gives you a bunch of balloons when you get it to zero. Woo! You know, hey, right? You reconcile that thing, right? And so we could say, help me resolve this conflict. But and you could go try to do that, help me, you know, I want to go resolve this conflict, but I can't guarantee there's a peace there. So in other words, I'm trying to separate and help you understand that there's two things we're talking about. Conflict resolution is where you sit down with somebody and you say, okay, I did this right, you did this wrong, I did this wrong, you did this right, and we're going to do this better, and you're going to do better, and I'm going to do better, and it's not going to happen again. And we sit down and we have a reasoning of the minds, we come together. And I'm not saying that that's going to produce necessarily peace. You can do that, and you can try to get a better arrangement, but that doesn't necessarily produce peace. Reconciliation says that you're going to take that person, and you're going to bring that person's balance to a zero, no matter what they do. Are you following me? It's you're reconciling. You want peace. You're going to have to make peace. But if you want to make peace, you've got to bring the balance to zero. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All this is from God, get this, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Everything we have from God is because Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. God reconciled himself to us through Christ. In other words, he didn't wait till you were going to act right, do right, straighten up, fly right. He didn't wait until you had it all together, those knuckleheads down there, get it all together, and then I'm going to come. No. He came to us and reconciled us because of what he did on the cross. Are you following me? He came and reconciled us, and look, everything we have from him, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't do all the right things, and then he said, now we're even. No. We were in major debt. And Jesus said, look down here and said, I'm going to bring their balance to zero. They owe me, and they can't pay the debt, but I'm going to go pay it for them, and I'm going to reconcile them to you, Father, and we're going to call the balance zero. Now, if Jesus Christ did that for us, then we need to be doing it for other people. Amen? And so look what happens here. He says, he reconciled us to himself through Christ, all this that we have, and then he said, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In fact, in one place of Scripture, it basically alludes to the fact, don't even come to church until you got it reconciled in your heart. Another, what he really was saying was, if you come to the altar and you're ready to leave a gift, you want to do something major at the altar and you're wanting to pray and you want me to expect you to do something, the Bible says, leave your gift at the altar, forget it. I'm not hearing it until you get this thing resolved. And that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't require necessarily that the behavior of the other person is going to change, but you got to resolve something in your heart between that person or it becomes a barrier. You know, getting this is good stuff. Good stuff. I'm preaching better than y'all are. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. All right, come on, everybody. Say a good amen. Too late. Doesn't count. I had to ask for that one. But anyway, and look what he goes on to say. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And so, when somebody does you wrong, you can wait until they get it right, until they make it right with you, or you can decide on your own, I'm going to make their account a zero. Instead of having vengeance, you can allow the love of God to fill your heart for them and let it go. Right? Need to let it go. And you can't do that until, well, you got to make peace with God. You got to make peace, as we're talking about. And then you've got to reconcile. And that doesn't necessarily mean resolve, but you're going to reconcile in your heart. And then it leads you to this. Number three, you really can't reconcile until you've been reconciled. Until you've been reconciled. You can't do that. How do I do all that? You can't. Until you first have been reconciled. Proverbs 16 says this. Through love, the faith and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. How are our ways pleasing to the Lord? It's not when we just change our behavior, but it's through a relationship. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through what Jesus did for us. And so we enter into relationship with Him through the fear of the Lord, respect and honor of Him, recognizing who He is. A man avoids evil. It produces peace in our life. And when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. And so it's through a relationship that He even makes, goes on to say, He even makes His enemies live at peace with Him. That's the result of it. It doesn't say that your enemies are going to change, but He's saying even you could still have enemies. But even though you still have enemies that don't like you, you can still have peace. You can still have peace. I tell you, it's about leaning on what He's already done for us. When we worry about what everybody's done to us, you need to think about what He has done for us. In fact, Jesus was rejected, abandoned, persecuted, and crucified. And when they tried Him and they accused Him and they falsely accused Him, He just deferred His case up to a higher court. I want to tell you, you're not going to have, and this is something I have to work on in my life because I tend to be a people pleaser. I just love people. I like it. I like people, and I like it when they like me back. I want them to like me back. But oftentimes it amazes me, honestly amazes me, of many times how I, and maybe you feel the same way, I'm so misunderstood. So misunderstood. I've told Kim so many times in the last 28 years of dealing with life. I've told her, I said, I wish I could just take my heart and just rip it open and let people see inside when I find out there's these mistakes and misunderstandings. But then I recognize we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I think sometimes between people there's some kind of airway that the enemy gets in between that, causes conflict, causes difficulties, misunderstandings. And in fact, the Bible says He's the prince of the air, causes confusion. And when you say it one way, it's heard another way. And that's the enemy working against us. But all I know is that even in the midst of that, and whether that person fully understands you or not, I've resolved to know this, that in Him is my peace, right? In the midst of it all, there's a peace because He is our peace. Would you bow your heads this morning? I want to pray right now that God, through the power and the truth of His Word, will really set people free in this place and give them the peace that they need. I'm praying right now for a deep work to happen in this house. How does that happen? There's a door, Jesus said, that of our heart that He stands at and knocks and wants to come in. But the first step in opening that door is to be reconciled. And though Jesus reconciled, He paid the price, it doesn't do you good, any good until you have received it. And that means that you come to a right relationship. How do I do that? You have to just give Him your life and surrender control of your life and allow Him to come in and bring your balance to zero. Today, maybe you're in a place and you're just not in a peaceful place. It may be because you're just not in that right relationship. Things are not reconciled between you and God. And I want to give an opportunity this morning for everyone's account to come to zero. To come to zero. To do that, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today, there's something in your life that needs to be reconciled, that needs to be healed. And first and foremost, if you need that relationship with Jesus Christ reconciled and your account brought to zero, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If that's you here today and you say, that's me, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in that prayer right now? Would you just slip up your hand to heaven? I just want to know who I'm praying for today. God bless you today. Anyone else? Just slip of a hand and put it back down. God bless you today. God bless you today. Would you pray this prayer with me, those of you that raised your hand, and even if you didn't, but you know that you need to pray this prayer, would you just pray this in your heart to the Lord? just say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. I surrender control of my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse my heart. Come in. Live inside of me. Give me the capacity to love. Give me the capacity to experience your peace. Come in and fill my heart right now. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I turn from my way, and I follow you today. I accept you. I accept your payment for me. And I now know that my account balance is zero. My debt's been paid. Thank you for coming into my life. And I will follow you as you enable me, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you today. For those that needed to pray that prayer that prayed it, God, thank you for the deep peace now. I pray that the love of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding would fill their hearts and minds, Lord. I pray for this entire church. I pray, God, that your peace would be known. And where there is conflict, I pray, God, that we would know that in you there is reconciliation. And God, so we, oh God, consider the debt paid. We release it all to you, God, that's paid for it all. And God, in you we find peace today. May we know your peace. May we walk in peace. May we be peacemakers, Lord, because we have the Prince of Peace living inside of us. We give you praise for all you're doing right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, everybody. Let's praise God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.